Hey, welcome back, everyone. I'm Jennifer Richmond, and this is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study. I kind of felt like a robot when I said that. Anyway, welcome back. Glad you're here. Glad that you are here. This is our final 2 weeks in our lesson through Esther and our culmination of this entire faithful and fearless Bible study. And I'm glad that you are with us. If this is the very first time that you have joined us, welcome. And if you are a seasoned regular, welcome back as well. We're going to have some prayer. We're going to dive into, we're going to actually do an overview of Esther, which is kind of what we do when we circle back through a book, just to revisit where we've been. And so today will be a day of reading through Esther again. And I'm glad that you're with me. I think we have some really neat things to see as we do our reading today. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into our lesson. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for our time that we've had through Esther and our time again today to go through this book. Pray that you would be with us, that you would be glorified in our study today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and switch screens so you can see where we're at. Ta-da! There you go. So you can go online and get this Bible study at jennifergrichmond.com. Just go there and click through the Bible studies link there, and you can get all of the Bible studies that I've written through Ruth and Esther. And you can open it up, look for it online. And what's nice about doing it online is that all of the links that are embedded into the study will go right to a website for you to look at Bible verses quickly and all that. Also, you can just print it and then have it on hand to handwrite your answers into. So I think they're kind of, it's helpful to do it both ways. So maybe that'll be a good tip for you, especially if you're just brand new and joining us. All right, let's go ahead and get into our study. We are wrapping up memorizing all of Psalm 42. We've memorized all the way through to verse 10, and this final 2 weeks, we'll be adding on verse 11 and really just reviewing the entire chapter and see if we can say it from memory. I hope you can. I'm getting close to it myself. Let's hop over to that. And those will be our meditation verses for today as well. And I've got that called up. And let's go ahead. I'm going to read through all of Psalm 42 from the English Standard Version. So you go ahead and listen in, follow along, whatever version you're reading from. Maybe it's the NIV or the New American Standard, whatever it is. Awesome. God's Word. Let's go ahead and read this and see how you're doing on having it memorized as well. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon from Mount Mazor. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All of your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Isn't that a great reminder? I don't know about you, but I've been so happy to be meditating through the psalm as we've gone through our study together. And it's come up in interesting ways in my own life throughout our study. So I hope it has for you. I'd love to hear from you how you felt about this as well. Well, let's head on over to the rest of our lesson. And you can see there, as I've got it on the screen, to write and memorize Psalm 42. Good job. You could pause and just take a minute to write it, just verse 11 there in the top of that box. And then read and review Esther 1:1 through 5:8. So we're just going to read straight through the first to the fifth chapters of Esther today. And we're going to go ahead and read it from a version that we may not have done before. So I've got it called up here in the ESV, but I'm going to go ahead and switch it over to, let's do the Christian Standard Bible today. I think we've read it at some point from there. And, it needs to be Esther 1. There we go. My link is tweaked. I will untweak that for you. Those of you who, I am curious, actually, how many of you follow online or use it online and actually use the links? It doesn't take me a whole lot more time just to add the links, but it is time consuming to make sure I have links for everybody in all of this. And so if it's something that's helpful to you, I would definitely want to keep doing it. But if it's not really something that you guys are using, then maybe I can skip doing it. Let me know. Just drop a comment here today and let me know. Do you actually use the links, or do you just watch and do it on paper and you don't need the links anyway? I'd be curious to find out. Let me know. All right, here we go. We're going to read through Esther. This is like an old friend now at this point, reading through Esther and revisiting all of the things that we've been through in this book together, really. I hope as we're reading it again this time, you will recall it like an old friend, like a book that you visited, but also maybe see things that are new. You know what? In fact, before I do that, let me go ahead and read the instructional part of this so you can kind of see where we're headed and why I'm having you read it over again. So I'll start here, right there, or underneath where it says dwell in the word. Welcome to lesson 6. Over the next 2 weeks, we'll read, write, memorize, and study our way through Esther 7 through 10, along with Psalm 42, 1 through 10. 1 through 11. So over the next 2 days, we'll reread Esther, chapters 1 through 5, 8 today, 5, 9 to 10, 3 tomorrow. What a great experience these past lessons have been. Whether you've been in the study since lesson 1 or are just now joining, enjoy this time as you read through Esther again. It's always amazing to me what I see and understand when I read and reread again. Try this. Don't just read Esther. Read it aloud. Read it with your spouse or your kids, or read it with a friend. You'll really find that it changes the experience. Enjoy that. And I hope that you will. Obviously, I'm just going to sit here and read it to you. But if you are reading on your own, don't listen to me. Just grab a friend and get your kids together, and everyone grab a Bible and read it together. It's kind of fun to do that. All right. And then, of course, join me in the live lessons, and I give the links there for that. So as we're reading through this time, I want you to note any parallelisms. Parallelisms are things that run alongside of a story. And in this case, they run through the beginning and then they run through the end. And I want you to see the opening and closing events, any emotions, any actions, anything that you go, oh my gosh, that happened in the beginning, but the reverse of it happened in the end, you know? So read it for that. Any new verses, you know, that were there the first time you read it. Any just so happened type of events, apparent coincidences in the narrative. And then again, as always, I've encouraged you to highlight as you read. I highlight people in brown, places in green, times and dates in pink, God's name in blue, and any phrases of note that I want to make sure I come back to and can see, have them kind of pop off the page, I do them in orange and yellow. So here's a blank page for you to put your questions, comments, and notes of Esther 1 through the middle of chapter 5, and then tomorrow we'll do chapter 5 to the end of the book, chapter 10. All right. Let's go ahead back over to Esther. And again, we're going to read through Esther 5, verse 8 today. And I thought I had my water close by. Hold on. Big water cup here for me. So I will pour it so it's not quite as big as I take a drink out of it. But all right. I get thirsty reading the whole thing out loud. Gotta get my water going, ready to whip my whistle. All right. These events took place during the days of Ahasuerus, who ruled 127 provinces from India to Kush. In those days, King Ahasuerus reigned from his royal throne in the fortress of Susa. He held a feast in the third year of his reign for all of his officials and staff, the army of Persia and Media, the nobles and the officials from the provinces. He displayed the glorious wealth of his kingdom and the magnificent splendor of his greatness for a total of 180 days. At the end of this time, the king held a week-long banquet in the garden courtyard of the royal palace for all the people, from the greatest to the least, who were present in the fortress of Susa. White and violet linen hangings were fastened with fine white and purple linen cords to silver rods on marble columns. Gold and silver couches were arranged on a mosaic pavement of red feldspar, marble, mother of pearl, and precious stones. Drinks were served in an array of gold goblets, each with different design. Royal wine flowed freely according to the king's bounty. The drinking was according to royal decree. There are no restrictions. The king had ordered every wine steward in his household to serve whatever each person wanted. Queen Vashti also gave a feast for the women of King Ahasuerus' palace. On the seventh day, when the king was feeling good from the wine, Ahasuerus commanded Mayaman, Bistha, Arbona, Bigtha, Abagtha, Zethar, and Carcas, the seven eunuchs who personally served him, to bring Queen Vashti before him with her royal crown. He wanted to show off her beauty to the people and the officials because she was very beautiful. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command that was delivered by his eunuchs. The king became furious and his anger burned within him. The king consulted the wise men who understood the times, for it was his normal procedure to confer with experts in law and justice. The most trusted ones were Karshena, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Meris, Marsena, and Memucan. They were the seven officials of Persia and Media who had personal access to the king and occupied the highest positions in the kingdom. The king asked, according to the law, what should be done with Queen Vashti, since she refused to obey King Ahasuerus' command that was delivered by the eunuchs? Memucan said in the presence of the king and his officials, Queen Vashti has wronged not only the king, but all the officials and all the peoples who are in every one of King Ahasuerus' provinces. The queen's actions will become public knowledge to all the women and cause them to despise their husbands and say, King Ahasuerus ordered Queen Vashti before him, but she did not come. Before this day is over, the noble women of Persia and Media who hear about the queen's act will say the same thing to all the king's officials, resulting in more contempt and fury. If it meets the king's approval, he should personally issue a royal decree. Let it be recorded in the laws of Persia and Media so that it cannot be revoked. Vashti is not to enter the King Ahasuerus' presence, and her royal position is to be given to another woman who is more worthy than she. The decree the king issues will be heard throughout the vast kingdom, so all women will honor their husbands from the greatest to the least. The king and his counselors approved the proposal, and he followed Memucan's advice. He sent letters to all the royal provinces, to each province in its own script and to each ethnic group in its own language, that every man should be master of his own house and speak in the language of his own people. All right, good times. Head over here to Esther 2, and I'll get some refreshing water. All right. Sometime later, when King Ahasuerus' rage had cooled down, he remembered Vashti, what she had done, what he had decided against her. The king's personal attendants suggested, let a search be made for young virgins, beautiful young virgins for the king. Let the king appoint commissioners in each province of his kingdom so that they may gather all the beautiful young virgins to the harem of the fortress of Susa. Put them under the supervision of Hegai, the king's eunuch, keeper of the women, and give them the required beauty treatments. Then the young woman who pleases the king will become queen instead of Vashti. This suggestion pleased the king, and he did accordingly. In the fortress of Susa, there was a Jewish man named Mordecai, son of Cher, son of Shimei, son of Kish, a Benjamite. He had been taken into exile from Jerusalem with the other captives when King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon took King Jeconiah of Judah into exile. Mordecai was the legal guardian of his cousin Hadassah, that is Esther, because she had no father or mother. The young woman had a beautiful figure and was extremely good looking. When her father and mother died, Mordecai had adopted her as his own daughter. When the king's command and edict became public knowledge, And when many young women were gathered at the fortress of Susa under Haggai's supervision, Esther was taken to the palace in the supervision of Haggai, keeper of the women. The young woman pleased him and gained his favor so that he accelerated the process of the beauty treatments and the special diet that she received. He assigned 7 hand-picked female servants to her from the palace and transferred her and her servants to the harem's best quarters. Esther did not reveal her ethnicity or her family background because Mordecai had ordered her not to make them known. Every day, Mordecai took a walk in front of the harem's courtyard to learn how Esther was doing and to see what was happening to her. During the year, before each young woman's turn to go to King Ahasuerus, the harem regulation required her to receive beauty treatments with oil of myrrh for 6 months, and then with perfumes and cosmetics for another 6 months. When the young woman would go to the king, she was given whatever she requested to take with her from the harem to the palace. She would go in the evening, and in the morning she would return to a second harem under the supervision of the king's eunuch, Shashgaz, keeper of the concubines. She never went to see the king again unless he desired her and summoned her by name. Esther was the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had adopted her as his own daughter. When her turn came to go to the king, she did not ask for anything except that Haggai, the king's eunuch, keeper of the women, suggested. Esther gained favor in the eyes of everyone who saw her. She was taken to King Ahasuerus in the palace in the 10th month, the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. The king loved Esther more than all the other women. She won more favor and approval from him than did any of the other virgins. He placed the royal crown on her head and made her queen in place of Vashti. The king held a great banquet for all his officials and staff. It was Esther's banquet. He freed his provinces from tax payments and gave gifts worthy of the king's bounty. When the virgins were gathered a second time, Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate. Esther had not revealed her family background or her ethnicity as Mordecai had directed. She obeyed Mordecai's orders as she always had while he raised her. During those days, while Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bigthan and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs who guarded the entrance, became infuriated and planned to assassinate the king, King Ahasuerus. When Mordecai learned of the plot, he reported it to Queen Esther. And she told the king on Mordecai's behalf. When the report was investigated and verified, both men were hanged on the gallows. The event was recorded in the historical record of the king's presence. Chapter 3. After all this took place, King Ahasuerus honored Haman, son of Hammedatha the Agagite. He promoted him in rank and gave him a higher position than all the other officials. The entire royal staff at the king's gate bowed down and paid homage to Haman, because the king had commanded this to be done for him. But Mordecai would not. Big yawn interrupting our reading here. I guess it's a little late in the afternoon for me to be doing this. I should have started it earlier. Oh, well, here we go. Shake it off. But Mordecai would not bow down or pay homage. The members of the royal staff at the king's gate asked Mordecai, "Why are you disobeying the king's command?" When they had warned him day after day, he still would not listen. They told Haman in order to see if Mordecai's actions would be tolerated, since he told them he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai was not bowing down or paying him homage, he was filled with rage. When he learned of Mordecai's ethnic identity, it seemed repugnant to Haman to do away with Mordecai alone. He planned to destroy all of Mordecai's people, the Jews, throughout Ahasuerus' kingdom. In the first month, the month of Nisan, in King Ahasuerus' 12th year, the Pur, that is the lot, was cast before Haman each day in each month, and it fell on the 12th month, the month of Adar. Then Haman informed King Ahasuerus, "There is one ethnic group scattered throughout the peoples in every province of your kingdom, keeping themselves separate. Their laws are different from everyone else's, and they do not obey the king's laws. It is not in the king's best interest to tolerate them. If the king approves, let an order to be drawn up authorizing their destruction, and I will pay 375 tons of silver." That's an interesting way to word it. In the ESV, it said talents, but and it, you know, did it, what was it, 75 talents or whatever it was? Anyway, and I will pay 375 tons of silver to the officials for deposit in the royal treasury. The king removed his signet ring from his finger and gave it to Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jewish people. Then the king told Haman, "The money and people are given to you to do with as you see fit." The royal scribes were summoned on the 13th day of the month, and the order was written exactly as Haman commanded. It was intended for the royal satraps, the governors of each of the provinces, and the officials of each ethnic group, and written for each province in its own script and to each ethnic group in its own language. It was written in the name of the king Ahasuerus and sealed with the royal signet ring. Letters were sent by courier to each of the royal provinces telling the officials to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Jewish people, young and old, women and children, and plunder their possessions on a single day, the 13th day of Adar, the 12th month. A copy of the text issued as law throughout every province was distributed to all the people so that they might get ready for that day. The couriers left, spurred on by royal command, and the law was issued in the fortress of Susa. The king and Haman sat down to drink while the city of Susa was in confusion. Esther chapter 4. When Mordecai learned all that occurred, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, went into the middle of the city and cried loudly and bitterly. He went only as far as the king's gate, since the law prohibited anyone wearing sackcloth from entering the king's gate. There was a great mourning among the Jewish people in every province where the king's command and edict came. They fasted and wept and lamented, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Esther's female servants and her eunuchs came and reported the news to her, and the queen was overcome with fear. She sent clothes for Mordecai to wear so that he could take off his sackcloth, and he did not accept them. Esther summoned Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs who attended her, and dispatched him to Mordecai to learn what he was doing and why. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the city square in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened, as well as the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay the royal treasury for the slaughter of the Jews. Mordecai also gave him a copy of the written decree issued in Susa ordering their destruction, so that Hathach might show it to Esther, explain it to her, and command her to approach the king, implore his favor, and plead with him personally for her people. Hathach came and repeated Mordecai's response to Esther. Esther spoke to Hathach and commanded him to tell Mordecai, "All the royal officials and the people of the royal provinces know that one law applies to every man or woman who approaches the king in the inner courtyard and who has not been summoned, the death penalty. Unless the king extends the gold scepter, allowing that person to live, I have not been summoned to appear before the king at the last 30 days." Esther's response was reported to Mordecai. Mordecai told the messenger to reply to Esther, "Don't think that you will escape the fate of all the Jews because you are in the king's palace. If you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will come to the Jewish people from another place, but you and your family's family will be destroyed. Who knows? Perhaps you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." Esther sent this reply to Mordecai, "Go, assemble all the Jews who can be found in Susa and fast for me. Don't eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my female servants will also fast in the same way. After that, I will go to the king, even if it is against the law. If I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went and did everything Esther had commanded him. All right, here we go. Chapter 5. On the third day, Esther dressed in her royal clothing and stood in the inner courtyard of the palace facing it. The king was sitting on his royal throne in the royal courtroom, facing its entrance. As soon as the king saw Queen Esther standing in the courtyard, she gained favor in his eyes. The king extended the gold scepter in his hand toward Esther, and she approached and touched the tip of the scepter. "What is it, Queen Esther?" the king asked her. "Whatever you want, even up to half the kingdom, will be given to you." "If it please the king," Esther replied. "May the king and Haman come today to the banquet I have prepared for them." The king said, "Hurry and get Haman so we can do as Esther has requested." So the king and Haman went to the banquet Esther had prepared. While drinking the wine, the king asked Esther, "Whatever you ask will be given you. Whatever you want, even to half the kingdom, will be done." Esther answered, "This is my petition and my request. If I have found favor in the eyes of the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and perform my request, May the king and Haman come to the banquet I will prepare for them. Tomorrow I will do what the queen, what the king has asked. Oh, and we'll pick up there tomorrow. We'll continue reading there. All right. That'll wrap up our time together today. We've read through the first half, basically, of Esther all over again. And even as I was reading it today, I was thinking back through our lesson and the points that I felt like the Lord, you know, led me to as I was writing it initially for you, and how even just now reading it, I was thinking, huh, I didn't really move in on that point. We didn't move in on this one. Some things I think about moving in on, and then I feel like the Lord pulls me away from it. For example, one of the things when I was first doing the study and writing it for you, when it comes to chapter 2, and they talk about how Esther was prepared and how all of the women were prepared with myrrh and spices and all the cosmetics and whatnot. I thought, oh, that'd be interesting. We should study that a little bit. And then I just felt like, you know what, it's interesting, but it's not really something that's drives the plot in my mind. And so it wasn't something that I dug into, although it is really interesting, especially for someone like me who loves using essential oils, and myrrh is one of them. And I actually use myrrh every day on my face. I use it on my teeth and my gums too. Again, just interesting, but nothing that really enriches our life in a deeper level. So those are the types of things I try to stay more focused on when we do our study, and save the other things for, oh, that's kind of interesting. So, all right, a little hair that keeps on tickling me. All right. All right, everybody. Have a great rest of your day. I will look forward to being with you again in our next half of reading this together. Until we meet again, know, as always, that you are loved and prayed for. Bye-bye for now.